Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ Alive's message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. If you have any prayer requests, we'll pray with you. Have any questions about the lesson, we do our best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you have any comments, we ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes. And if you call and get information on how to obtain a copy of the messages the Lord has been sending through his angel messenger, we will get that to you as well. For those of you that don't like giving your comments or your prayer requests over the air, contact us at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And once again, we will get back to you. Amen. So, without further ado, for those of you listening, hey, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we humble ourselves on this blessed day to glorify you and to magnify your name. And we come together and assemble together that, Lord God, that your spirit, which is the spirit of truth, will reveal this truth unto us this day. And Father, as we study on this subject and go into this subject, we ask, Lord God, that you release through your spirit revelation, knowledge, and understanding. So, Father, we just thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And thank you for being one who honors his word. For, Lord, you said, where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst. So, Lord, we want to thank you. We want to praise you, and we want to magnify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today we are on a new section of the series, and it's still part of an overall series about concerning the rapture and where that the Word of God points out to us that there will be no rapture. There will be a caught up. But those who teach the rapture, the we can be gone at any time, any day, teaches that, you know, hey, we're not going to face the great tribulation, which they call the wrath of God. And they said that any day we can be gone. Well, the word of God, from what I've seen, points differently. And as I said before, I really wish it was true. It sounds very good, very, quote, accepting, if you want to use a word like that in a sense, but everything we accept doesn't mean it's always true, what we accept. So having said that, we've been looking at the scriptures, and from the other series, other section of series, we've been looking at how that, as I said before, and this is no knock-knock at my brothers and sisters who teach and believe in the rapture. I just ask that what I'm presenting to you, that you take it to the Lord. I have found out that there are some who are preaching and teaching rapture, pre-trib, but have never really studied it themselves. In other words, they've been preaching what they just heard. I'll give you an example right quick. On my job we're on now, I'm on now about 20 years ago, me and some old brothers, we all worked on the same job. The job I'm working now, the rest of them is not still there, but at that time we were. And we used to always take our breaks at the same time. And our first break, the morning break, was like 9:10 to 9:30. And so what we did, it was me and I think it was two or three more brothers. We would come together and use that first break for a time of prayer. And so we was doing that, and there was one of the particular brothers, and, you know, whenever we got finished praying, he would say things to me like, okay, yeah, I thank God that we can be gone any day. We won't have to see this and that. You know, he was saying different things. And I have to be honest with you. At one point, each time he was saying something, I knew he was referring to the pre-trib rapture. Each time he was saying something, I really wanted to say something to him, but I just held my peace because you have to know it's a time to speak and a time to be silent. And so each day this went on for a while, okay? And so one particular day we took our second break. Our second break at that time was the lunch break, which was the 12 to 12:30 break. And so on our second break, mostly the four of us didn't go to the same place at the same time. We split up on the second break. We just came together on the first break. Well, just so happened this particular day, one of the brothers who I was telling you that was saying, making no remarks, me and him happened to go to break together. And so we went on a break together and we sat in his vehicle outside and we was talking things of the Lord and, you know, so forth. And so when it was time to go back in, we got out the vehicle, and as we were walking into the plant, when we got into the plant and we started getting close to our workstations, he made this remark to me. He said, "Brother Nate, I'm so glad we won't have to be here to see those things. And Brother Nate, the Holy Ghost is going to be taken from the earth, right?" And when he said that to me, I knew in my spirit, it's time to talk to him. So that same day, the brother went in the bathroom, and I went in the bathroom. And I began to talk to him. And I asked him a question. I said, "Brother, let me ask you this question." I said, "Do you know or have you studied and do you really know that the rapture is true?" And with pure honesty, he said, "Brother," he said, "I have to be honest with you. I never really studied that." He said, "I just preached what I heard." And he was honest about it. And I appreciate his honesty. And see, that's what's going on with many that is preaching, even the preacher of rapture, that many of them have not really just studied that. Yeah, they've been told different scriptures here and there that this is what it means. And because of whoever told them that somebody they very well respect greatly, or some type of leader or something like that, they just took it, you know, as they said it and just, you know, went around preaching it, but they never really studied. And I want to say to those of you that's listening before I go further, listen, and be honest with yourself, okay, because it's going to manifest when the smoke clears, it's going to manifest. If you really ain't studied this subject, to see whether it's really true that we can be gone any day. See, the Bible does say we're going to be caught up. That's not what I'm speaking against. But pre-tribulation teachers and preachers say it's a any day we can be gone. And in there they say that because it's a any day, we won't have to encounter, quote, the great tribulation, which will involve the rising of the Antichrist, the main one to rise. And so they refer to the Great Tribulation as the wrath of God, okay? And I want to encourage you, if you ain't never really studied, study it. Study it. Study it. And what I'm giving you, hey, take it to the Lord. Okay, that's what I want to say. Now, if you got your Bibles, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Chapter 24. Amen. Glory to God. And the title of this new section of the series is titled "No Rapture, Abomination of Desolation." No Rapture, Abomination of Desolation. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, we know that from reading this chapter, this is what we know. We know that the disciples ask Christ, "When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" And asking the one who would know, started giving them answers. And the thing about it, in his answers to that question, there was not numbers like October the 5th, 2052. It wasn't nothing like that. It was He named events, okay? He named things that would happen, okay, that would tell the end of the world and his coming, and when these things he's talking about going to happen. Now, the Bible says his disciples asked him. Now, when you look up the word disciples in this 24th chapter of Matthew, the original Greek word for that means learners or pupils. Well, this is where things go to more than just the, quote, 12 apostles or 12 disciples, but it goes to all of the Lord's learners or pupils, which includes who? If you're born again, me and you. I mean, you are a learner, right? You are a pupil of Christ, right? Now, if you don't think you're a learner or a pupil, then you're not in Christ. Because all of us that got saved, we all, no matter how long you've been in Christ, we are all learners and pupils. You always going to find out from the Lord that it is something you don't know, okay? You're going to always, I don't care who you are in Christ, you're going to always find it out that you're always, the most humble ones, no matter how long they've been in Christ, can honestly say to you, say, hey, I'm still learning. I'm still learning. So far as I see it, okay, we will forever be pupils. And so this is why what he was saying in Matthew 24 wasn't just confined to the Jews, okay? This is for all his learners and pupils to know what they're going to face. Now, if we were to be gone any day, I say this once again, as I said a few times before, what would be the possible need for us to know this? We wouldn't need to know this. You understand that? If we as believers, we're going to be snatched up any day and be in heaven or be with Christ, there's no need of us knowing this. Because when you read this in this 24th chapter of Matthew, at least for the most part, it's not good, people. So why would I want to know that I'm in heaven and I want to know about his wars and rumors of wars and all this stuff going on? What joy is that going to give me in heaven? I can answer that for you, none, okay? Ain't going to give me no joy. Now, in this 24th chapter of Matthew, I want to go to verse 15. Verse 15 in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Now, before we go there, let's go back to verse 8. Verse 8. And I want to go there for a minute here. And in verse 8, Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So when you read what he said from verse 4 to verse 7, Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Now, the original Greek word for the word sorrows there is odin. Odin means pain or throe, especially of childbirth. So according to Jesus, he symbolized these things that he mentioned before from verse 4 to verse 7 as birth pains. Now, he said in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrow. So he turns around. Now, after verse 8 comes what? The hard labor. Many of you sisters, especially sisters in Christ and women who have had babies, you understand by birth pains coming first, but then the actual hard labor that comes after. But see, Jesus symbolized it like that in this, okay? By telling us, verse 4 to verse 7, he gets to verse 8 and said, these things, all these things, what things? The things he mentioned before verse 8. He said, all these are the beginning of sorrow. So he said, these are just the birth pains right here that you read in verse 4 to verse 7. He said, now you're finna go into the hard labor. You understand that? Verse 15 says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Okay. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be, now listen to this, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. Do you hear that? Now, he mentions the abomination of desolation. He said, when you see that, he said, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. See, whenever the Lord talks about events to come in the last days, or even he's going to do something, he never goes without having witnesses, okay? Amen. And you will find many of these witnesses is in the Old Testament. Old Testament prophets. This is why I say to many of you or some of you who gets upset because someone said, well, let's open from verse so-and-so in the Old Testament. And you so jump up, quick to jump up and say, wait a minute, we're a New Testament church, blah, blah, blah. We don't mean the Old Testament. You're missing the point. Because many of the Old Testament prophets spoke on the New Testament revelation things today. Okay? So you can't just take the whole Old Testament and throw it in the garbage can. Okay? Because the way some of you talk, like that's what you need to do. But that would be a grave mistake. Because God gave the prophets in the Old Testament, just like he said in the word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 28, the word of the Lord is here a little, there a little. And throughout time, throughout his prophets, he gave what? Here a little, there a little. He gave so much of the plan, so much of the purpose, so much of what's going to happen to his prophets. So you can't just sit up there and throw that away because you're talking about we're a New Testament church today. Yes, we're a New Testament church. But you cannot throw away what he gave the prophets. You understand that? Now, he mentions something that Daniel mentions, and it's called the abomination of desolation. Now, we're going to explore this a little bit more because it is important to know as believers, we're going to face this abomination of desolation. Now, there has been a difference of, difference of opinions or whatever in the Christian community on this abomination of desolation. Some believe it is something. Some believe it is someone, okay? And I see merit on both sides. So what I want to do is what we need to do. We're going to define it, this abomination of desolation. We're going to define it from two places. And the two places are going to be the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what we're going to do is we're going to graph in the information together because this information will go together because even though this is mentioned here in the New Testament, Matthew, Jesus pointed us back to Daniel, who was in what? The Old Testament. So that's why we can get the full scope of what this abomination of desolation is dealing with. Amen. So just like he said in the 15th verse here, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Now, let's go to what he's talking about in Daniel. So let's go to the book of Daniel. And Daniel chapter 12, hallelujah. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 12. And I'm going to read verse 1 and verse 11. Now, I'm going to tell you why I'm going to read verse 1, and let's go to verse 1 first. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, because see, Jesus has pointed us to what he's telling us, someone who has spoken on this thing that should happen, okay? That this someone that spoke it, he spoke it where that he was, it was given to him to give it to everybody. It was a future event to come, okay? A future, something that is to be done it was going to come in the future. And he told us Daniel. Okay, so we go to Daniel 12 and 1, and the word of God says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth up for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book." Now, that Michael is Michael the archangel, okay? And this verse right here is pointing to the time we're living in now, the end time. How do we know that? Because, and this 12, might as well say this 12th chapter, okay? But I want to read this first verse because it's leading into this 12th chapter to give unto you what he's saying in this chapter is especially pointing to the time we're living in, the end time. Now, how else do we know that this is pointing to the end time? Well, he says here, "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation." Now, remember, I just read to you in Matthew 24 when Jesus talked about when the abomination of desolation is set up and he was telling folks to flee and don't come out the housetop. And remember, he said, "And then shall there be tribulation such as never was before." So it goes in conjunction with verse 1 here to show you that what he's going to talk about in this 12th chapter of Daniel is pointing to what? The end time, the last days. Amen? Now, having said that, stay in the 12th chapter. Let's go to verse 11. And this is where Jesus was talking about what Daniel mentioned. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. Let's go there. Amen. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11. And the word of God says here, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that make it desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." Now, here he mentions the abomination that make it desolate. Same as what Jesus was talking about, the abomination of desolation. Now, let's get some kind of understanding about what this abomination of desolation is, what it's deal with, whatever we can out of it. And one of the best ways to get some understanding about what it is or whatever it is dealing with is defining the words. And here in Daniel 12 and 11, we're going to look at two words to define in this verse, and it's going to be abomination and desolate. Now, the original Hebrew word for the word abomination is shikuts. And shikuts means disgusting, that is filthy, especially idolatrous or an idol. Okay? So when it said abomination that makes desolate, the abomination is something that is idolatrous or an idol. It is disgusting. It is filthy. Okay? So this abomination is dealing with that which is filthy or disgusting, that especially is an idolatrous or an idol. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, the word desolate, remember it said abomination that make desolate. The original Hebrew word for that is shalmain. Shalmain means to stun, that is, devastate, or figuratively stupefy. To stun, that is, devastate, or figuratively, it means to stupefy. Okay? So it is a filthy, idolatrous thing or idol that devastates or stupefies. You say, "Well, wait, Brother Nate. What stupefy mean, Brother Nate? Come on, don't leave me like this. What does stupefy mean?" Stupefy means to make stupid, groggy, or insensible. Okay? Amen. To make stupid, groggy, or insensible. So according to the meaning of the abomination that make a desolate, it is a idol or something that's idolatrous, that's filthy or disgusting, and is able to devastate one or make one stupid, groggy, or insensible. Okay? Hallelujah. So it's idolatrous or an idol. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, as I said before, there are those who look at the abomination of desolation being a thing, something, or someone. And like I said, I can see merit on both sides because we're talking about the Antichrist, too, in this why that there will be no rapture, because the Word of God shows us that we're going to be here and that the Antichrist from the Word of God is going to be worshipped. So the Antichrist is going to be as an idol. You know, you remember growing up when you were one of the famous phrase or slang or saying, whatever you want to call it, that we had growing up, it said, hey, you're my idol. Remember, who was that? Was it Charles Barkley, the basketball star, had the famous quote said, I'm nobody's idol? Well, see, your idols can be not just these objects or images, but people can become your idol. When you worship them or give more time to them than God or take them over God, they can become your idol. So this is why the abomination of desolation can be dealing with this particular person. We're dealing with the Antichrist, okay? Well, also, too, I can see the abomination of desolation dealing with some kind of thing that people may worship that's not a man or human or a spirit that can be a object, okay? Amen. Because it is said that it is a filthy thing that is idolatrous, okay, or an idol. And like I said, your idol don't have to be just people. It can be things. Your car. If you are subject to your car being your idol. You got some people, their cars, their houses is their idol. They would, oh my God, they would literally die for it. They would give all they all and they worship it, okay? And that's what makes some idolatrous too, is that when it's being worshipped, okay? And people worship their cars and houses and things of that nature. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Daniel 12 and 11, he says, and from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, an abomination that make a desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, it talks about the daily sacrifice, okay? Now, I want to say something to this here before I go any further. And I want to read to you one of the things on this, dealing with this subject here. And this is from What is the Abomination of Desolation? God Questions. This is one that is speaking on it. They give a little history of something on here. Okay. I remember I just read in this 11th verse that it said, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Now, during this time, there was one who was named, and I want to pronounce his name right, Antiochus the Fourth. Okay. And he was a Greek ruler. And he came, and I think this is in 167 BC, he came and desecrated the temple in Jerusalem. And I'm talking about the temple there at this time of Daniel. Now, this is not the AD 70 temple that was, you know, totally destroyed or taken down. But I'm talking about here, this is the temple before the AD 70 temple was desecrated. Well, this Antiochus, he came and he desecrated the temple in Jerusalem here during this time. And he was one of the Greek rulers when they came to attack Jerusalem. And the interesting thing, too, when he came and he took over Jerusalem, he stopped them from making, you know, the offerings, the sacrifice. And remember, this is during, before Christ,
were crucified, rose on the cross. So you still was sacrificing the blood of the animals and stuff like that. Well, he and remember, the animals that you sacrificed was the ones that God called clean, okay? Because remember, when you're dealing with the atonement in that time, the atonement only covered man's sin. So the shedding of the blood of animals that God called clean, because remember, God gave Israel a list of animals that was clean and animals that was unclean. So there wouldn't be no sacrifice of no animals that was unclean, but it was the animals that were clean, okay? Now, so when Antiochus the IV took over, he stopped the Jews from doing the daily sacrifice. And what he did, he went in, and from what I understand, some say it's a pig, some say it's a swine, which swine is another thing for a pig or a hog. But anyhow, what he did was that he set up an altar to his, quote, God that he worshiped. And from what I understand, I think it was Zeus. And over the burnt offering where the Jews would sacrifice the animals, he put a pig on the altar. Now, if you would read the list of what God called clean or unclean, the pig was an unclean animal. So he was disrespecting, okay? And he was putting that which was unclean on there, okay? And another thing was Antiochus, from what I understand, called himself Epiphanes. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Epiphanes. And Epiphanes means illustrious one or God manifest. Okay. Now, you said, well, why are you saying this? Because I can see that Antiochus would represent a type of the Antichrist in the last days. Right now, whether you believe it or not, the Jews are planning to build a temple, and they're getting all these animals together to sacrifice. See, remember, the Jews rejected Christ. They were the one that crucified. So you had them still to this day doing sacrifices with animals that God said was done away with when his son was sacrificed. You understand what I'm saying? So imagine by them building this temple in this day and time and having these animals there to sacrifice, and now the Antichrist, whom Antiochus is like an example of, is going to say, hey, you got to stop that sacrifice, and he's putting something else that they are to worship to. He's putting something else in the spot. Well, you would say, well, what would that be? Well, I can see where it could be the mark of the beast. Hallelujah. Now, some talk about the mark of the beast being some kind of machine set up. I don't know about all that. But yet still, I see where that Antiochus can be representation of a type in dealing with the Antichrist in the last days. So it said, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, okay? Amen. Now, some of the pre-trib rapture teachers say that, hey, the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel, okay? A seven-year covenant. And in the midst of that covenant, they talks about how that he's going to break that covenant, okay? Hallelujah. And see, we got to understand that the Jews, by them rejecting the true Messiah, which was Jesus Christ, they're the one they're looking for. They thinking that it's going to be, listen, they didn't accept Christ as the Messiah. So the one they looking for now is to, they looking for to be the Messiah. This is where it's set up for them to receive a false Messiah, which would be who? None other than the Antichrist. Okay. Amen. The Antichrist. And when you read in Revelation, the Antichrist, along with the Roman Catholic Church, is referred to as the beast. Well, see, the whole world is going to worship and wonder after the beast. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, the whole world is going to wonder after the beast. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So in this Daniel 12:1, he said, and from that time, the daily sacrifice shall be taken away. Now, Let's go to chapter 9, Daniel, right quick. Let's go to chapter 9 in Daniel right quick, okay? Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, and Daniel is still talking about this in connection to this one that is going to take away the day of sacrifice, okay? Hallelujah. See, not only is he going to deal with, let's say, the sacrifice of what they're doing in Jerusalem, but also, remember, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 13 to offer up the sacrifice of praise. To who? To God. But this Antichrist, who's connected in dealing with this abomination of desolation, he's going to want to cut out praise to Jesus, period, and he's going to want all the praise. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, look what the word of God says here. It says, and after 62 weeks, which is 62 weeks, shall Messiah, which is Christ, the Messiah, be cut off. That's when he's going to be killed, but not for himself, okay? He's going to be crucified. Now, remember, it's supposed to have been 70 weeks that he's given, okay? And he said, in 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off, okay? But not for himself. Now, listen to what else it said. And the people of the prince that shall come, the people of the prince that shall come, okay? Now, if you read that verse, how it's set up that this prince was to come after Christ is crucified. See, this prince, see, he's talking about two different people in this verse here, people. He's talking about Jesus the Messiah, but he's talking about this particular prince that it shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, okay? And the end there shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined, okay? Now, he talks about this prince that is to come after, okay? And this prince, hallelujah, is none other than the Antichrist who is ruled by Satan. Because this prince overall has to do with Satan, okay? And the Antichrist, the main one, Satan going to have total rulership of him. I say total, okay? And he said this prince that will come after. And verse 27 said, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice, just like he said over there in Daniel 12, at the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to what? To cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Okay? He shall make it desolate. Okay? Hallelujah. Even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured out, shall be poured upon the desolate. Okay? Hallelujah. So this prince that is to come after the Messiah who is crucified is, number one, Satan, but the Antichrist who is ruled by Satan. Now, to show you that it's Satan, let's go to John chapter 14 right quick. Let's go to John chapter 14 right quick. John chapter 14. Let's take a look at that right quick. Chapter 14, verse 30. Chapter 14, verse 30. Chapter 14, verse 30, okay? Now, look what it says here. This is the word. Now, remember, you know, when words are written in red, who's saying it? Who they saying is directly saying it? Jesus, okay. This is what Jesus said. He said, hereafter, I will not talk much with you. And this is what he said. For the prince of this world cometh. You hear that? Did you hear that? That means he said somebody's coming after him. He called him the prince, and he called him the prince of this world. Okay? He said, the prince of the world of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And remember, in Ephesians chapter 4, Jesus said what? Neither give the devil place in you. So this prince, this one that's going to stop the daily sacrifices, not only that in dealing with the temple, with the Jews, but he's going to want to cut out all praise and worship to God, and he's going to want it all for himself. Okay? I pray that you hear what I'm telling. Hallelujah. He's going to want it all for himself. Okay? Who do you know is going to actually be the true ones praising and worshiping God? The true believers. So if he wants to stop that, say, for example, the twofold thing, if he want to stop the sacrifice of the animal that the Jews going to do, you know he ain't going to be too happy about that, and the Jews ain't going to be, the Jews ain't going to be liking that, so that's going to be a problem. But then to go on a bigger note, because remember in Revelation, he's also referred to as the beast, and the world is going to wonder after him. He's going to want what? Worship of the world. So if you got believers in the world who's worshiping Christ, and he's going to want that stopped, okay? Because people, you got to understand, the number one faith that's going to be persecuted when the smoke clears is Christianity. True. Not no fake. Not this stuff you see in the straddling the fence. We're not talking about that. We're talking about true belief in Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about, is going to be the one that is persecuted. Why? Because the true believers is going to want to worship Christ and praise Christ, where the Antichrist is going to say, no. No. That worship and praise you do to Jesus, I want it. So who you think he going to persecute? See, people, many of our brothers and sisters in the other countries, they're already facing this. You know, you got over China, you got what is called the underground church, okay? Many of them over there, you got sneak Bibles to them. Because their God over there is Buddha, okay? So, you know, you talking about some Jesus Christ, they don't want y'all there, don't want that to be brought over there neither, okay? Amen. So just imagine when the Antichrist, the main one, rise up, what he's going to want, okay? And you remember I read to you guys from the word of the Lord, and it was in the fourth message, said that evil church, the mother of harlots, is seeking to overthrow what? All governments, and especially this government, and try to establish herself in this land, okay? So for right now, when you got the government say freedom of speech or freedom to worship whoever you want to, the time is going to come, people, that they're going to say, hey, if you're worshiping God or Jesus, that's a no-no. That's a no-no. We're going to do something to you. You're going to get locked up or something like that. Now, some of y'all think I'm sounding like I'm coming off some kind of movie script. But this is true, people. This is 100% true. Watch. Okay? This abomination of desolation. Jesus had it written in there because he's letting the people know you're going to face it. There's not going to be no snatch up in the air, you gone anytime. It's not going to be none of that, people. It sounds good. It sounds good. But it's not going to be that. And I do mean, it really sounds good. And see, this prince that we read about here and that we read about in Daniel, where it said, after the Messiah is cut off, the prince shall come and destroy the city. Well, once again, another reason why we know that prince is not good and not Jesus and not of God is because, remember, he said, and the prince shall come and destroy the city. Well, what does John 10 and 10 say? Satan comes to what? He's the thief that comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said in Luke 19, what? I come to seek and save those that are lost. So after Messiah is cut off, and then this prince comes to destroy the city, well, we know who it is. He is satanic inspired. It's the enemy. And this is the Antichrist who's being used by Satan. Just like I showed you guys in Revelation 12 and 3, not only represent the devil, but a nation in service to Satan, which is who? Rome. The Roman Catholic Church is involved with the popes. Okay? All of them linked up together, people. Amen. All of them link up together. Now, some of you said, well, what are you saying, Brother Nate? Every Catholic is going to hell? No, I didn't say that. There are some Catholics in there who heart are really honest, and they're being deceived, and the more they want truth, Jesus drawing them out of there. Watch. He's going to draw them out of there. Amen. He's going to draw them out of there. He's getting them out of there, people. Amen. Hallelujah. See, just like the Greek king Antiochus, he called himself the illustrious one. He's God manifest. Well, see, this Antichrist going to do the same thing. Except the whole world is going to wonder after him. Now, Antiochus didn't fulfill the word that Daniel gave in 12. Now, Antiochus didn't fulfill it, okay? Yeah, he did attack him, but that wasn't to be him, okay? That wasn't to be him. Amen. See, the whole world, when this Antichrist arrives, the whole world is going to be after. The whole world is going to wonder after. The only ones that won't is the true believers. And the ones who say, hey, I worship Christ. My sacrifice and praise go to him. Well, guess what, people? That ain't going to go over too well with him. No, it's not. It's not something he's going to be embracing. Okay? You know, back in the times, especially when the Roman Catholic Church were killing the Christians, let's be honest about it, and how they would torture and kill them. And see, they wanted them to renounce Christ and call them the Holy Office. This is why they popes go by these names, the Holy Father and all that stuff, okay? That's why they were doing that, people. Amen. And if you didn't acknowledge them as being number one, well, guess what? We either tie you in the center of the village and burn you alive or put you on a torture rack and snatch your limbs or we cut your son. That's what Hebrews 11 is referring to. What happened to the true believers? Amen. That's what we're referring to, people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus was telling us here that what Daniel mentioned in Daniel 12 was a future event coming up for the end time. And so Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation set up, okay, which if you look at it as a thing, it is something that is going to be used to be worshipped. Well, who would do the setting up? Well, no doubt the Antichrist. Hallelujah. And I can see that Mary as being even the mark of the beast. Or if you're looking at the abomination of desolation as a person, that would be him being set up. Okay? Amen. Because the Antichrist is also referred to by Paul as the man of sin, who the Bible says set it in the temple of God. Okay? Amen. So either way it goes, the abomination of desolation has to do with the Antichrist. Okay? Amen. But see, the Lord wants his people to know, you're going to see this. You're not going to be gone. And he's letting you know, this is why I had this information written in the Bible. For you to plainly see and know what's going to be going on. If you weren't going to be here, if the appointed time for the Lord was to be any day, then there is no doubt, because my Jesus got perfect thinking, there's no doubt he wouldn't be having these writers to write so we all can read it now, we all. Because there's no specific instruction there in the Bible here saying, okay, you strong Christians don't need to read this, but your weak Christians need to. You have no instructions like that in this word here. Amen. Now, I'm going to stop it here today. Glory be to God. Thank God for the blessed word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, for your spirit and power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Don't forget tonight at 7 p.m., my brother Eddie Lee will be back on for Gospel Message with Brother Eddie Lee. Look for the advertisement then. So, once again, may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, the Lies of Message, on the broadcast entitled Jesus, Where the Midnight Cry Broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.